Okay. Should we kick this off properly then? Should we get started?
I mean, we have. This isn't the podcast.
No.
If this was What Am, this would have been all the cold open. You guys are just wasting reels of footage here.
I'm sure we'll find a place for it somewhere.
Yeah.
Euthanizing.
Jazz's personal
euthanizing reels of footage here.
All right, yeah, let's get into it.
Okay.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to... Yeah,
I don't know, I think maybe you should do the intro. It will confuse the listeners.
No, God, no, please don't. I'm going to take a really long sip of coffee, and by the time I'm finished sipping, you should have done the intro, mm-hmm. So... Okay, go.
Hello, and welcome to the Writers Honourable podcast. As truthful as resources permit, my name's Jimmy, and I'm currently sweating buckets in my flat in South London. Jazza, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm exactly the same, and isn't there just a wonderful tradition of British people complaining about anything over 25 degrees centigrade? My name's Jazza, this is Jimmy. We meet regularly to talk about politics, social issues, and current events, but we also have two other people here. Feel free to introduce yourselves. Richie, you go first.
I'm Richie. I'm currently in Ireland, where the weather is quite lovely. And it's not too hot. It's pretty okay. It's pretty perfect, like everything about our country. Much better than yours in every single way. I'll pass over to my co-host Steve now.
Hi, I'm Steve Byrne, co-host of What Am Politics with Richie, who forgot to mention that. We are...
Hashtag WAP.
Much better than this podcast. We are...
Where is the
lie? We are obviously in Ireland, and it is much nicer here, as Richie said. The weather is fantastic, beautiful. I am sweating only the normal amount, as is expected in the summertime. Actually, that's not true. Yesterday was really hot. I got burned.
Yeah, and I'm always sweating and uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's fair, actually. I'm just realizing that I'm having to drink like 4 liters of water to not nearly pass out at the moment. But I will go on and I will survive. Even though this is a special occasion, we have some remote guests with us, very excited about that. We are still going to continue. Steve is waving, but this is an audio podcast, Steve. No one can see you. we are going to be talking about 3 topics, as is custom. Steve, do you want to introduce what the first topic is, because you
it's your fault, basically.
It's your fault. It's no. I think technically it's our fault.
It's your fault. You as an
agent. Fault.
But it is your fault that we're talking about it. So go on.
No, I'm just highlighting it because I need you to talk about it. Yeah, I thought obviously being an Irish person coming on to an England-based podcast, obviously I'd have to bring up a gripe. From an Irish perspective, and again,
800 years of gripes.
800 years of gripes, and again, we got another one. One of the most common ones these days, apart from, you know, all the war and oppression and occupation of Ireland and stuff, is you guys keep on stealing our actors when they win awards or get nominated for awards, and it really annoys us. It annoys us something fierce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't take any of our shitty actors. You wait until like we get the cream of the crop just rises up, and then you go, "Wha, that's ours."
No one ever calls Bono British.
Well, no, but that's because you can keep him. Thank you very much.
Wow.
You know, but exactly.
Well, we would also like to keep Paul Mescal, who is the star of the recent hit show Normal People, which you can't get more Irish than Normal People, even if his co-star is.
Can you specifically keep Mrs. Bounds Boys though? If we're doing this negotiation,
No, that's fine.
Just because the BBC funds it does not make it a British show. That's your fault.
How about we take the cast and crew of Mrs. Brown's Boys and float them out into the middle of the Irish Sea?
What, send them to the Isle of Man?
Yeah, not even that. We just let them float back and forth, and whenever it gets too close, we just get a barge pole and push them out.
And it becomes this great international effort. But we are going to be talking about... is there going to be any kind of debate? I'm curious to see what Jimmy says. About
Everyone's curious about that.
Kind of like this appropriation of... Irish individuals, TV presenters and stuff as well as actors, but especially at the moment because of award season. Jimmy.
It happens every year. You guys have claimed Saoirse Ronan, Brendan Gleeson. Mm-hmm.
And none of us can pronounce her name, which is very confusing that we insist on taking.
And ironically, it means freedom.
Really?
So that stings.
it means dibs. Yeah, I've got a list of people here. Yeah, Saoirse Ronan, Seamus Heaney at one point.
Michael Fassbender.
Michael Fassbender,
whose name
Colin
means...
Farrell, Brendan Gleeson.
Fast... No.
Finish that thought.
I'm confused. Jimmy, the second topic that we're talking about is boring. So do you want to introduce it?
Thanks for that, Jazza.
Wait, are we finished talking about?
No, we do an intro. Yeah, well, this is
Richie, okay, that's fine, because I have a lot of thoughts.
This is just a very short podcast, 10 minutes. Whistle stop tour. We don't have any Scottish guests, although Jazza, I guess you can sort of claim some heritage.
Mate, I've got a muck in my name and that's about it, although I do insist on wearing kilts in special occasions.
There you go. That's...
I don't know if I'm really allowed to. I'm about as Scottish as I am Irish. Oh, which after mine and Richie's marriage is completely, yeah.
There you go.
That's a follow-on from the last, from 2 years ago.
Yes.
For those people
the last
time we were
on the show, if listeners remember.
But anyway, this is topic number two. We're going to be discussing the, I guess we'll call this the Scottish grading scandal. Obviously, exams haven't been allowed to take place throughout the UK, and so basically teachers have submitted results, and then various authorities in each of the four UK nations has moderated them. And there's been basically out of 500,000 individual grades submitted by schools, about a quarter of those were adjusted down, and they're adjusted down mostly in deprived areas, or more likely to be adjusted down in poor areas, because those schools had poor records previously. And the SNP, generally speaking, have a questionable record on education. They've been banging on about it for a while, but haven't actually made much improvements, or so their critics argue anyway. And this is just sort of blown up, and we're expecting that similar things are going to be happening when England, Wales and Northern Ireland actually announce their results as well later in August. So,
I believe the English and Welsh grades for A-levels come out this week. And everybody's already, I think so, right?
I think that's right. I think the A-levels come out before GCSEs, which is towards the end of the month.
Yeah. But we're looking forward to Middle England losing its shit. What were kind of like the solutions for coronavirus in Ireland? Is there like an equivalent of A-levels and GCSEs?
Yeah, there's Junior Cert and Leaving Cert, yeah.
Just LC.
And we're doing the same thing. LC, when we're making up results as well.
Yeah, I think it's in the hands of the teachers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of pushback in Scotland from the fact that they, the teachers are like, we were trusted by the SQA, the Scottish Qualification Authority. We've been trusted by the SQA to mark grades and our whole professional lives, and now you don't think that the opinions that we have on the children that we spend our whole time with are valid. It's been quite fun seeing everyone get very annoyed. But also, mainly, Jimmy, this is a chance for you to stand on your soapbox and talk about how formal education is bad, right?
That is right. I mean, mostly, this podcast is just a vehicle for us to express our own political prejudices about things. And speaking of that, Jazza, do you want to...
No, I have a better segue. My segue's better. It's a chance for you to talk about your political opinions, Jimmy. Go and see the blog. It's not representative of my own opinions. It's all Jimmy. Or for me to talk about the Eurovision Song Contest.
It's not a segue if it's this ham-fisted.
You should hear...
It's not a good segue.
You should hear most of them. So, I'm very excited. Unironically excited, because an American version of the Eurovision Song Contest has been announced that will be taking place at the end of 2021. All 50 states... Whoop, whoop. All 50 states are planning on having a representative in the same way that different countries across Europe and Australia and Israel... we have their own representatives in the Eurovision, and a winner will be crowned at the end of next year, representing a state of the United States. Does anyone else in this podcast lineup care?
I quite enjoy Eurovision. Uh-huh. I think it's something special, and I'm very interested to see the take that the US has on it.
And I want to see what Arkansas do.
Do you mean Arkansas?
I'm afraid it's just brilliant.
Wow, this guy.
That's a vine.
Very, very niche Great Plains joke.
I'm excited for all of the middle ones because I think it's just going to be a load of bluegrass songs, and I'm not mad about that.
Do you think Oklahoma? Yes. Do you think Oklahoma is just going to like sneak in a song from the musical Oklahoma and just try and pass that off and see if anyone notices?
Virginia will just do covers of West Virginia. Like I feel like
you
this
realize
is
those
be...
are different states, right?
Are they? Oh, okay. Is that Virginia and West Virginia?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But where's East Virginia? Is that Virginia?
In the sea. It's in the sea.
Yeah, we don't talk about that anymore.
Shh. They lost the second Civil War.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, see, this is kind of like one of the reasons that I'm so excited about it, because it will be a chance for those of us who are not in the US to really understand state-by-state differences and for them to
be able to represent themselves. Because I know so much about Belarus and Azerbaijan from watching the Eurovision. I can't even pronounce that.
That's just how I said.
Anyway,
as kind of like the unreasonably dedicated Eurovision fan, I know all of my European politics from the Eurovision Song Contest, like the fact that Armenians and Azeris hate each other, why all of the ex-Soviet states vote for Russia, etc., etc., etc.
Everyone dislikes the UK.
We should have won in 2015. Anyway.
No, you should.
I'm sorry for the hostility. I'm starting to feel like us coming on the show is a bit of a Trojan horse to take down the competitor podcast.
That's very sweet of you to say that. I think we can take that, Jezza, actually. Probably no need to do the rest of the podcast.
Excellent. We'll quote it. The right dishonourable, only as truthful as sources to me, competitor to what I'm politics. Excellent. Shall we beg people for money and play some music and then actually talk about the topics?
We can do all those things.
Great, good.
No, we're actually here to give them money, Richie, evidently. Jesus.
Oh, wait, who plays the music? Because I have found a harmonica.
You play the music. Go on.
I can't play her.
Just breathe into it. See what happens.
Okay, I've got to breathe into it like a really creepy pervert, and we'll just see how that kind of transforms into music. So lost.
That was
really
acceptable.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, very good.
So.
Yeah.
That's the first song for America Vision.
America Vision. Oh, okay. We've.
That was beautiful.
There's the music. Yeah,
that was really good. Chills.
Thank you.
That's coronavirus, Richie.
Oh, yeah, I just have chills all the time now. I'm very sick.
Oh, dear.
If you like what we do at the Right Dishonourable podcast, you can support us by going to patreon.com/rightdishonourable. It's a fairly conventional Patreon account, and I'm sure most of you know how that works, so I won't bore you with any further details. A big thank you to our existing patrons, Andrew Kilpatrick, David Preston, David Warner, Gemma Cumming, John O, Matt, and Ollie McGregor.
What are we talking about?
I think this was yours, actually, so...
Oh, yeah, Paul Mescal. Poor Paul.
Richie, tell them all the times that they've stolen our people.
Yeah, so Paul is just kind of the most recent example. And also, it's worth pointing out, around that same time, Andrew Scott, who a lot of people would know as the hot priest from Fleabag.
Oh, yeah.
Also, yeah.
Moriarty.
Yeah, and Moriarty from the BBC Sherlock series. He was also claimed as well in the same article. But yeah, it's a long list of basically the best our country has produced. Saoirse Ronan, as we mentioned, even, and it's not just actors. Seamus Heaney was also in the Penguin Book of Contemporary British Poetry. Was marked
Ireland's most famous gardener.
Yeah, it was a British poet, and Seamus Heaney responded, "Be advised, my passport's green. No glass of ours was ever raised to toast your queen."
I really liked that as kind of like this is my rhyming things is my shtick. Also, sick bird.
Yeah.
you've got to tip your hat to that.
A smutty limerick would have been better. But
yeah. That's not really a Seamus Heaney thing, though, is it? Limericks,
no.
He was more classy.
Chris O'Dowd as well. And also Conor McGregor, but I'm willing to let that one slide. You can have him.
See, I feel like you're not allowed to pick and choose. You either have all Irish people or none of them.
Only the British are allowed to pick and choose.
look at history. Jimmy, what, so I think everybody is probably gonna. This is the.
Well, before you hand it over, I want to know: did you guys notice this before we brought?
Yeah,
it to
I have. I have noticed. Probably not as much as you have, by the sounds of things. You know, it sounds like you're quite upset about the whole thing.
Do you notice it every year? Or is this the first time?
I don't really watch awards shows and that kind of thing. So
it's not the
awards,
but even just like in general, it's not. Yeah, it doesn't just come up once a year.
I think it happens a lot. I've noticed it, but obviously it's going to be a lot more salient for you guys, and I just get confused because they aren't. I think that very often, because sometimes actors are based in the UK or like specifically London, and so because they have spent the majority of their careers maybe in the UK and London scene and working on British productions, that is maybe where some of the confusion and incorrectness comes from, but it is just wrong.
Yeah, I think that's a watery excuse, because even if we look at like Paul Mescal, the most recent example, he is based in East London, like he's a working actor in London, but the context around where this came up was for Normal People, which was an Irish production company, Element Pictures, I think, did it with an Irish director, Lenny Abrams, who did Room and Frank and a bunch of other great stuff. Mostly Irish all Irish book. Actors, except for Daisy Edgar-Jones.
I'm not defending it. Like,
this is level at you. This is just in general.
I must defend myself.
And so, like, it's a lot of Irish stuff around it. It's not like basically the only English connection was the fact that it was a co-financed production of Hulu and the BBC, but it was shot all in Ireland and all. It was very much an Irish thing from an Irish author and Irish settings and stuff. So it's about as Irish as you can get, aside from some bookkeeping on the back end. So, you know, I think it's a deeper thing than just. So basically, come at me, Jazz.
It is annoying, and I can imagine it being really annoying because it's just incorrect. And I don't understand why it's a difficult thing to.
It's annoying for more reasons. Yeah, than that.
Like on the surface level, it is just wrong, and then there's history
not
that
being
is
claimed
underneath
as being
that as well, right?
If it was Paul Mescal, amazing Belgian actor, then, you know, I don't know how offended the nation of Ireland would be over that.
So it's purely because it's a British thing, Jimmy. Then? That's the...
Yeah.
But do you not think it's kind of similar to how Canadian actors get confused for Americans, or New Zealand actors would get confused for Australians?
No, Jimmy. No, stop. No, take that back.
There's a historical context there, Jimmy.
Well, you know.
There's a present day context there.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I mean, America has invaded Canada,
but also, like, it doesn't.
By my count, so, you know. I know it's not the same, but, you know, degrees.
No. But also, that doesn't mean those things are right either.
I'm just wondering if this is like a general stupidity thing rather than some kind of conspiracy by the British to steal your best actors.
It's not a conspiracy. It's laziness, I think. And it also speaks to how much Britain realizes and remembers that there is an Irish independent republic.
I think we talked about. I think we talked about the last time that we were on our podcast together. I didn't know that there was an Irish War of Independence until well into my 20s, and I think I told you that I asked about it in school, and I was told that we gave Ireland independence to say thank you for World War One, which is obviously not right. And I think that
we got a gift certificate for one independent country.
Well, that's well,
one
fair,
Christmas.
Really.
That's
<Yeah.
true.
laughs> It wasn't even the whole thing. You go to reclaim. Oh, sorry, the one third of it expired.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is out of date, but we'll give you a bit off. But I think that is reflective of most British people's ignorance around our past relationship with Ireland. Most of us just have never learnt about it and don't know. Whereas obviously it is probably the most, like Irish independence is probably one of the most important parts of kind of like Irish identity and Irish history. Whereas for us it's just kind of like, and then the Irish thing happened, but then we went on to be great in World War II. Jimmy, why do you think that there's kind of like this, specifically with the the incorrect claiming of Irish actors. Where do you think this comes from? Is it ignorance, do you think, as Steve
suggests? I find it pretty weird because there was a clip, Richie kind of referred to it, of Chris O'Dowd being asked whether he was a British actor, effectively. And it's just really obvious to any, you know, British person, English, Irish, Scottish, that Chris O'Dowd has an Irish accent. So, I don't know. It's sort of just baffling to me. I mean, I kind of get it more when there's a Daily Mail article that claimed Paul Mescal and that kind of thing. When you're talking about actors, it makes slightly more sense because, you know, depending on what role they're doing, it might not be that obvious that they're Irish. But I don't know. I guess it probably laziness is the best explanation. I don't think it's meant maliciously, but, you know, obviously understand that doesn't really make it less offensive to people, right?
Yeah. It's only a minor offence as well. I'm not really that.
it's quite fun to get annoyed about it.
Wow, Steve, rip us a new one, and then say sake.
Yeah, I mean, I still take the six counties back if you're willing to give them an apology. But
I think there are some people there who might disagree with that. I'm just saying.
Well, they're British.
Yeah, but they live there.
What are your thoughts on Paul Mescal, Jazza?
Fine. Not my type.
Really? Because everyone is obsessed. The thirst levels for Paul Mescal online are insane.
I tend to like people who... Like, I am white pasty and have Irish heritage, and so... and I'm not attracted to things that look like me. I think he looked a little bit too much like we could be related, so I've never really...
And you don't get off on that.
I don't, funnily enough, despite the
Jazz is definitely not Irish, so...
Exactly. Well, my family left for a reason, didn't they, Steve?
Degrees of cousins is degrees of hotness over here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God damn it. Thoughts on the chain?
On who?
His chain. Paul Mescal's chain. Did you watch Normal People? Oh, okay. Because there's a whole viral thing about the chain he wore. Like, it has his own Instagram account.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
The hottest thing.
Like,
the chains do it for people, then.
Yeah. My sister worked on Normal People. She was in the costume department. And most of the communications she gets these days are about the chain.
Did she pick the chain?
No, she didn't pick the chain. Her boss picked the chain.
It'd be a high-up decision.
Yeah. It's quite funny.
She picked
well.
The cock ring.
Yeah, it's quite funny because, like, for the amount of nudity in that show, it's like you worked in the costume department for people
easy wearing job.
Clothes. Yeah.
Why the chain?
But apparently, Paul.
It's just a chavvy. It's a chavvy chain, like the chain that I wear. Like, what?
Yeah, in the book, it's described as Argos chic. I think it's supposed to, like, symbolize his kind of youth and naivety and innocence to, like, get a chain in Argos and think it's, you know, it's so cool.
It's poorness too.
And yeah, exactly. And just wear that, and then it just looked good on camera, so they just left it on, I think, the whole season.
I do embrace my chavvy roots by wearing my own chain, and really secretly I just want to get a thicker and thicker one. Because that's what glamour looked like.
Jazza has more roots than an oak tree.
So I had so many, mate, you have no idea. The Irish ones are kind of made up just for you guys, really, though.
He's got ancestors from Chavistan. That's crazy.
Oh, they're great in Eurovision. They're so good in Eurovision, though.
Yeah,
Jimmy,
yeah.
Did you watch the show?
I actually did watch the show. I really enjoyed it. I was going to ask, like, bearing in mind, as we've acknowledged in the previous episode and in this episode, that British people don't pay too much attention to what goes on in Ireland. How do you guys feel that Normal People has been this kind of breakthrough success in the UK and will now be a prism by which we view your country?
I'm okay with it. I'd love the show. Like,
to step on from Father Ted.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good portrayal of youth in our country in general, and particularly there was, like, they dealt around issues of suicide, which in, like, rural Irish communities is a big thing, and also the kind of mental health issues that a lot of young male Irish people go through, and this kind of, you know, not talking about your feelings until things get too bad, which they dealt with in the show in a really, really iconic scene. And yeah, I think it represents Dublin nicely. I think it represents the West nicely. I'm all for it. And like I said, it's Lenny Abrams who kind of directed the first six episodes and set the tone and look for the whole thing, and it
does look
amazing.
Yeah, I think it's
right. It's what kind of like the really British good. Equivalent? It's because initially I thought it would be like Skins, but it feels like kind of like, is it like the tone of I May Destroy You?
No, I haven't seen.
Oh,
that,
it's brilliant!
So I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, it's very, very good. Lots of trigger warnings for almost everything, though.
It's kind of it's Lenny Abrams kind of directs from the kitchen sink kind of like point of view. Like it's very low key. It's almost documentary, but then still looks really good at the same time. All the images are sharp, and the actors. It's very understated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
describe it like
apart from the chain, plus, which is there just dangling in your face the whole time, making you horny. Apparently,
that's not what's dangling in your face, Jim. As you should watch it. There's lots of things dangling. That's what I was going to say as well. Irish people should be proud of it because it makes us look like a nation of hotties.
Yeah. I mean, was there too much sex, do we think, given it was 12 episodes? An episode and a half was just made out of sex scenes. Not continuously, but, you know, sprinkled throughout.
I mean, I'm
well, Ireland went ballistic, and we have a daytime radio phone-in show called Liveline, which is essentially a barometer for how nuts our nation is.
Like LBC over here.
Yeah, exactly. It went ballistic with people going, "Oh my God, that was disgraceful. There were so many crevices and lumps and hump and Joe."
Pornography.
And the guy who hosts is called Joe. But in fairness to him, he was trying to pull it back. And he's like, "And so what? Like, if you didn't want to watch it, just turn it off." Yeah. And they're like, and then there was one woman was like, "And Joe, imagine, like, would you watch two 17-year-olds riding in the street?" He's like, "No, of course I wouldn't." Well, what?
I'm still not doing that by watching this show. Speaking about 17-year-olds, some of them in Scotland will have received their exam results in the past week and had some very nasty surprises, where a large number of them had their results marked down after teachers were encouraged to grade them based on previous exam, like mock exam results and knowledge of each individual candidate. Teachers were asked to rank all of their students as well, so that then they would be able to scale any kind of grade adjustments that would happen. And it has resulted in a large number of people getting marks down in lower grades and even failing some of their exams. This has kind of like, Jimmy, you said that this is kind of like a bit of a blot on the Scottish National Party in Scotland. What's the vibe that you've been getting from this? And are you excited for like people from Hertfordshire to have the same experience in a week or so?
I wouldn't say excited, but...
Are you getting off on this, Jimmy?
I have a long-standing, as Jazza has already referenced, dislike of the role that grading plays sort of in society. I guess it sounds quite big, but there is definitely an element of tragedy here in that grades are a means to getting into good jobs and good universities and that sort of thing, and some people, as you know, some kids as a result of this will not be able to pursue career paths that they previously wanted to. But it does seem, you know, Nicola Sturgeon, when she was defending the grading system, so the teachers submitted grades and then it was moderated by the SQA, which is the Scottish Qualifications Authority. They decided to mark a lot of stuff down on the grounds of schools' previous records. And Nicola Sturgeon said that if they hadn't marked that down, results would have been like 10% higher than the previous year, which just isn't, you know, unless you think that Scottish schooling has improved massively during lockdown, just isn't really credible. So... I kind of think that is actually a fair response to things, you know, notwithstanding people are upset by things. But I mean, and the other side of it is, it could be the case that some teachers knew that people would be marked down and therefore gave slightly more optimistic submissions than they otherwise would have done. You know, there's a bit of a sort of to-ing and fro-ing going on here. So I mean, I'm not delighted by it, but it was, I think that there's a certain amount of, you know, some of the protests about this system just don't seem to connect with reality. I mean, imagine if no moderation had taken place and you have 1 year during lockdown where everybody's grades are like a little bit higher. or, you know, significantly higher.
Because that's actually what happens, and that's the reason that there was a shift down in the grades awarded, right?
That's why the moderation took place.
Because
so.
there was just a big jump in the number of people who were getting higher and pass grades compared to previous years, and they wanted to level it out as if it was more of kind of like a normal grade.
So when you guys say that the SQA kind of evaluated the results that the teachers gave and made adjustments, that's not based on any sort of merit. That's just them looking at like it as a whole and plotting it.
Well,
part of it is that, but then there's also qualitative. Each grade that was given and the ranking of each student was important because they also had to give qualifying reasons for giving the grades. The teachers giving the grades to the students that they gave. So they would base that on something quantitative, which would have been exam results, or it would have been based on something more qualitative, like knowledge of the student's potential and all of those kinds of things. There is kind of like a part of this from the teacher perspective where I've heard teachers and representatives from the teachers' union say that teachers actually wouldn't, like, it's bad practice to put up a kid for an exam that you think they're going to fail, and so having to rank your class to a point where the ranking, like, you know, the bottom however many are going to be given fail grades because of their rank, it seems kind of counterintuitive based on that ideology in teaching that you wouldn't put any of your students up for an exam that you think that they wouldn't at least pass. But then obviously there were kind of increases in the predicted grades that were given that they were unhappy with because it would have screwed with their algorithm. Every year, it's. I'm not sure what kind of what solution there would be to this though. And Jimmy, I'd be curious to know what your kind of like what would you replace hires or GCSEs or A levels with.
Well, I mean, ultimately, I think there has to be some sort of system for deciding who goes to university and who doesn't. But I'm actually more on the side of the SNP with this, despite my misgivings about, like, as I said, the role of grades in deciding who wins and who loses in society, which is ultimately what we're talking about. But, you know, the SNP are right that, like, you can't, like, you know, ultimately, some people, for grades to mean anything, they have to, you know, attached to reality in some sense, otherwise you're just giving a random number to people, and it's all relative in the sense that, like, some people have to do well, some people have to do badly, otherwise there's no point having the test whatsoever, really.
Mm-hmm.
I
disagree with that.
Go on.
Yeah, like, if there's a driving test, like, is it bad if everybody passes the driving test? No. If people are qualified to drive, to drive, then they should be able to drive, right?
That's a fair point.
As kind of like an example that I just pulled out of my
bum. A maths GCSE isn't a license to do maths, right?
But it is a license to do a particular... It's basically a license to do a particular type of job. If you get a fail at GCSE maths, that locks you out of the vast majority of the jobs market.
Can you imagine, though, if you did fail it and then you tried to, like, add up, you're buying sweets or something, and you loudly tried to do some maths and you get arrested for it?
Mate, I can't divide anymore. Like, we have technology nowadays that means that we don't have to do kind of, like, mental arithmetic, and if you don't use that muscle, then you don't use it. And so...
Quick poll. How many people on this call remember how to do long division? Like,
no idea.
Pen and paper.
I've remembered the phrase. It's about
Steve.
I could probably figure it out, but that's not what complex maths is meant to be about. So I think it's kind of we're being a bit derivative and dismissive of mathematics.
I just want to know if you guys can remember. I'm not trying to make a point here. I'm just trying to see if you guys can.
Let alone long division. I don't think I can do short division. I know that you have to do that. I know that you have to do that sideways L, and a number goes there and a number goes there. I have no idea what else happens when you're dividing something on paper.
There's sparks and fireworks.
Yeah, you scrunch it up, eat it, wait 2 weeks, and then, like, the amount comes to you, right? That's the whole thing.
That's it.
But I don't understand what necessarily the scandal is here. in terms of the Scottish thing?
So a lot of the scandal and a lot of
is
the
it,
protests.
Is it like, oh, you're being mean to poor people?
I think that's the main
thing. So it's highlighted a lot of kind of like the class segregation that happens in education, to be completely
Which
honest.
Which would be there anyway.
So you get to say again?
Which would be there anyway.
Which would be there anyway, but this was kind of seen
I mean,
it was
there anyway. That's
exist.
What the grading is, the moderation's based on. The fact that that attainment gap already exists, which is something the S&P have got in trouble over in the past. But it's not the fault of the moderation that's there.
But isn't it the fact that it was like a drop that happened after the results? So like the numbers I see here, pass rates for schools in deprived areas was dropped by 15.2% versus 6.9%.
Yeah, they weighted it, but based on the school that kids went to and stuff like that. So reinforced the class divisions that exist in the Scottish education system. And to be completely honest, because ours is even because in England especially, well, especially in parts of England where private schools are more prevalent and there's more of a state school private school divide, like those divisions are going to be even more pronounced. You're squinching your face, Jimmy. Why do you think that?
I don't think there is a more of a divide between private and state schools in between UK, England and Scotland. I think you just pulled that out your arse. If anything, I think the English have more grammar schools, retained more grammar schools over time. So I think that it's probably, you know, more complicated than that. Jazza is now Googling something.
I was going to say, Jazza's Googling face Googling. On.
Is this I've got to ask, is this, I'm assuming Ireland kids didn't take exams this year, so you have a similar thing going on, right?
Yeah, it was a lot of, so our teachers don't grade the final exams normally. It's a massive state system where everyone goes in and fills out the forms, and then there's a special summer system that, like, where freelance people would grade the exams.
I think we do the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, that's not happening this year, so the teachers had to make it up. There was a lot of pushback. They didn't want to do it because that would involve more work, and they have good unions, so that took a bit of wrangling. But it hasn't been released yet. I think it's been delayed. And the only controversy I noticed was people who are being homeschooled are having a bit of trouble getting or being told that they're actually going to be given results.
Yeah. Jazza, have you had any luck with your Googling?
I haven't. It's really hard to figure out what the keywords were. I'll find it later. It's fine.
Is Jazza right?
I put that into Google and it didn't come up for some reason. I don't know why.
It just autocorrects it. Is Jazza
there right? There is kind of, this does link to, you know, the point me and Jazza have been arguing. There is a tendency. I don't know if you guys have noticed this sort of watching British news, but Scotland... The S&P is kind of seen as a progressive, almost like New Labour-esque government, and Scotland is often compared favourably to England, which has obviously been run by the Tories for the last 10 years. And this seems to be what, like, a rare story of, like, a major Scottish policy failure. Admittedly, one the English are probably going to follow in quite swift order in much the same way. But I think, you know, for certain people on the right, this has been quite an enjoyable week to actually, you know, see the S&P fail at something in quite a big way. Is that fair, Jazza?
Schadenfreude.
Oh dear.
That's great, Steve. Write that down. We're stealing that from our podcast.
Should we move on and talk about America Vision, if that's what it's called?
Oh my god, yes, finally something I actually know something about.
Lay it on us, Jazza.
So the Eurovision Song Contest have announced that there is going to be an American export to the greatest show on earth, the largest audience for non-sporting event in the world, although they have very generous estimates for their audiences, let's be fair.
Like a TV audience or
TV TV audience, live audience. I mean, that would be a festival, I assume, or something like that, right?
That's true.
They say it has an audience of like 200 something million every year, which is very generous. They actually think that about 100 million people watch it, like, which is still lots of people.
Do you guys watch Eurovision? I think it's worth asking.
Yep. Yes,
both of you. Mm-hmm.
We do a special episode every year
over on our podcast. Well, we didn't do one this year for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. But
I was in Eurovision.
We bring it a Eurovision expert.
Well, the thing that they did.
No, you weren't.
The live stream, which was very fun and probably the peak of my career. Sorry, Jimmy. Jimmy, would you watch Eurovision if I weren't a friend of yours? I don't think you watch it now, do you?
Is the UK not being kicked out of Eurovision because of Brexit?
No, don't be stupid. Stop trying to bait me.
The BBC still pay for it, so we're like one of the five major
contributors. And even Nigel Farage has said that the UK can be a part of Eurovision and continue.
Well, if the Prime Minister says it, then that's okay.
Stop. but yeah, the UK will continue. As far as I can see, they continue to be one of the big five because they have the largest broadcast audience, or one of the five largest broadcast audiences. So we continue to go straight through to the final. So we'll explain to you what it's like to be in the final, Ireland, because that's not happened for a while.
We got J Lo, Johnny Logan. He's making a comeback, don't you know?
Great.
Wait, he's still
great. You know what? Bring back Dustin the Turkin, and maybe you have a chance.
Ooh.
Sick burn.
National low point.
Shopping trolley. Sometimes I forget that he was in it, and then I remember. And then I remember after that he was in a shopping
trolley. And Jedward represented you
twice, at least.
Twice. Good for you.
Jedward are Twitter champions at the moment. Have you noticed that? They're paying someone to send them politically poignant tweets, I think, and then they're putting them up and they're getting loads of credit and retweets and likes and stuff. It's awful.
Are you jealous of Jedward's Twitter game? It's the vibe I'm getting here.
No. Yeah, I'm jealous of Jedward in so many ways, Jimmy. You've got no idea.
Mm-hmm. That vertical hair, that's the thing, isn't it?
I wake up with that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, they have announced that there's going to be not an America Vision, which is a shame that they haven't taken that name, but there is going to be an American Song Contest where, in a similar format to the Eurovision Song Contest, there's going to be a set of semi-finals and a final for the 50 states of the United States to represent themselves with an act, whether that be an individual singer, a duet, or a group of up to six people performing on stage.
What about Puerto Rico?
This is an interesting question. They are not part of the 40 states, and neither is someone like DC or Guam.
50 states. 50 states.
Just knocked it down by 10.
What did I say? Did I say 40?
You said 40 states.
I'm sorry, I meant 50. Well,
you're forgetting West Virginia,
East Virginia,
North and South.
all the region.
Every single one.
But it's crazy because if we have Australia in ours, why can't they extend it to Puerto Rico,
which is part of America?
Which is part of America. They are American citizens in Puerto Rico, and in like Guam and other kind of like dependent
American
states
Samoa
as
yeah.
well. Yeah. But the kind of like the point of this is that this isn't going to be Eurovision. This is a copying of the Eurovision format and packaging it for the United States. So it inevitably is going to look very different.
So is it like a franchise of Eurovision? Like, are they affiliated with it?
It's affiliated with Eurovision, but in the same way that it's an American remake. So there's I can't remember the name of the guy. I haven't got it up on my screen. Bad Jazza. But there's one of the people who organises the Melody Festivalen in Sweden, which is their national preliminaries to select their representative for the Eurovision Song Contest. One of the producers of that is going over to produce the show, and there are also some producers who are experienced in exporting European IPs to the United States as well.
My fear is that it's just going to end up like another, you know, American version of X Factor or America's Got Talent, or it just becomes like a cookie.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be like Pop Idol. They've also said that there's going to be 5 to 10 preliminaries up to the semi-final and then the finale. And it sounds like it's going to be something like they're going to reality TV the shit out of it and make it like The Voice and American Idol or something along those lines.
Is it going to be on PBS or is it on one of the private TV networks?
It will be on a private TV network. It's not a PBS thing. Mm.
Commercials every 10 minutes.
Yeah. To be fair, I don't know if RTE have the license for Eurovision. They have ads in the contest, right? They're not ad-free.
Yes.
So the BBC obviously doesn't have advertising on it, and so they do really terrible kind of like sketches with Scott Mills and Rylan Clark in place of where the adverts would be. But there's adverts in the Eurovision, and there's just going to be more in AmericaVision, frankly. Yeah. But there's been one of the really... One of the more lovely things that was written about was the potential of the American Song Contest to do the same kind of healing between in a divided nation that the Eurovision was intended to do after the end of the Second World War. Where...
By pitting them against each other. Yeah. One winner emerges.
Do we think that that...
Healing.
Do we think that that is... a viable thing to kind of like to say is a potential positive of being able to bring together a divided nation like the United States in the same way that Eurovision obviously unites us every year.
Yeah, because Russia get on so well with everyone else and that never causes problems. And there wasn't any controversy about going to Israel at all. We're all so lovely and together over here.
Mm-hmm. I do get what Jazz is saying, though. They're like the spirit. It's about the spirit of it, right? And you know, if it does bring some people together, you can't just be look cynically at the whole thing and point to specific examples of
problems,
you know, controversy or conflict and problems and stuff. Like, there is a lot of good in it as well. Mm-hmm. I think it depends if it does any benefit for America in that regard, how they wrap it and what the spirit of it is. If it's like a really, because a lot of the time when I was in America and I would look at television stuff, it's all very kind of gladiatorial and confrontational and big flashy, this versus this. You know what I mean? There's a lot of kind of inherent conflict baked into the spectacle of it. And I feel like, and it's the same with Pop Idol and America's Got Talent and all that stuff. And I feel if they hit really hard on that, then it's not going to, it's just going to be another one of those things. It's not going to bring the country together any more than any other reality show. But if they build something into it about, I don't know, about healing or about like togetherness or about whatever, potentially. But I don't think America will do that.
Yeah, I think that there's something about this that like America, we forget as non-Americans very often that America is 40? 12.
No one's really sure.
States.
Scientists can't agree.
It is 50 states, and they do have their, all of them have their own distinct cultures, and actually quite a lot of those distinct cultures are reflected in the type of music that is popular in those states, be it country, rap, pop, something like bluegrass, or I'm sure there's others.
Other genres are available.
Yes, there are other types of music, Jazz. Yeah.
I just think the divide in America is not between like north and south; it's between rural and urban, right? And that's not reflected in the state-on-state structure. So, I mean, obviously, the South is associated with country music much more than the North is, but I don't really, you know, the average Trump voter lives in, you know, bumfuck USA, some random, you know, random town.
Bumfuck Tennessee.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas...
But they live in bumfuck New York and they live in bumfuck California, but there's just more people living in snobbyville cities that outnumber them, and that's why they're blue states.
Yeah.
Jimmy's right. It is a divide between the rural and the cities rather than the states. It just looks like that because that's the 50% plus one that we see on the leaderboard.
Yeah.
But I think exactly, right? But we look at the electoral map and how it compares to what it looked like in the 1980s, for example, where Reagan basically turned the whole map is red. And now there is always the big, you know what's going to turn red and you know what's going to turn blue on an American map.
Here's a fact. Do you know that they only invented the red and the blue thing in 2000? Before that, they never used them to refer to the state, the parties winning each state.
I think I have heard that, and they chose the opposite colours to what's used.
Because of TV.
Well, because that was such a contested election, and it was that was the one where George Bush only won because the Supreme Court ordered them to stop counting votes in Florida. Mm-hmm. So it was in that election over the couple of days that they were like, okay, let's all, we'll synchronise and say Republicans are red, Democrats are blue. And then after that, it became as real as the blue and the greys from Civil War.
I love that. That's great. Yeah.
So I don't know what they did when Reagan won, but it wasn't.
No, right. But like, you see what the map looks like. Mm. Like,
wouldn't it be funny if it was like, you know, Coca-Cola turning Santa red? Mm-hmm. That was just like a sponsorship deal for Republicans. One got Coke, one got Pepsi.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past them.
To wrap this up, what state are each of you excited to see what musical offering they will provide?
So I used to live in Castro, California, Jazz, as we've discussed, is the most magical place on earth. The gayest bit of the gayest bit of America. And Eurovision every year there was a big thing. All the bars streamed it, and it was like a big festival that happened. And California in general, I think, has enough really camp pockets like that to really like lean into the Eurovision aesthetic and like produce. I can imagine them doing some crazy like Sweetie pop, over the top
Sweetie
thing.
Pop.
I'm very excited to see what they produce just based on my time there. I want to see what Oklahoma or Detroit or
Michigan
sorry, yes,
the state of Detroit, like, that,
yeah, I'm just thinking of Detroit Rock, like Kiss came from Detroit, and that would be a perfect Eurovision. So like there is
would be very Hard Rock Hallelujah Finland winning, yeah, like 2006, I think. Jimmy, who are you looking forward to as a musician as well in a band? Still, no, not really.
Rude. No one's in a band these days. They don't exist anymore.
Jazza just did air quotes around both musician and band, you guys.
That's probably justified. I'm looking forward to seeing Alabama not really get into it properly. That's really what I'm looking forward to. Or maybe just Maine, because no one really believes that's a state.
I always forget about Maine.
Exactly.
Read some Stephen King books. 10.
Yeah.
No.
I'm looking forward to Hawaii because it'll be something different.
I'm also looking forward to the like a Hawaii or an Alaska. I reckon Alaska is
Alaska.
Be,
it'll be hillbillies.
It'll be hillbilly, but also probably a little bit nuts.
Like Sarah Palin. They'll send Sarah Palin.
She was like a. She was Miss Alaska or something, right? She was a beauty queen in Alaska before she was governor.
Yeah.
And that's completely.
That's a natural career trajectory.
Makes perfect sense these days.
For many Central European countries, those are the people that they send to Eurovision, is like ex beauty queens and stuff who can hold a tune. Talk to Richie's point, I don't think it's going to be camp. I don't think it's going to be Eurovision. I don't think that translates well. But I'm really excited for, like, the center of music in the United States is Tennessee, is Nashville. And they have to win, don't they, really? Because that's where talent is. Yeah.
They're going to be the contest element of this.
Mm-hmm. I think Tennessee are going to be the Ireland, and then maybe the California is going to be the Sweden.
Who's going to be the UK? Who is
New
no
York?
One
obviously, no one's going to vote for New York. Everybody hates New York.
Wow, is that a thing? Does everyone?
I
hate
bet
New
you
York?
Think I have. I've already thought about this like heavily, Steve. I'm already like each country.
See, I think it's kind of interesting what you said about it, you know, America Vision, which it's not called, but I'm going to call it that, not being sort of camp, because I think there's sort of like a level of irony going on in Eurovision that I'm just not really sure carries the same way in the US. It obviously is kind of a stereotype that Americans don't do irony, but I kind of feel that Americans do very blunt, in-your-face irony rather than maybe more subtle irony. Maybe that's unfair.
Well, they made that movie on Netflix this Chris, or just recently there.
It was
Will Ferrell
co-created with a Swedish production company, I believe. I hate Will Ferrell, but he is somebody who loves Eurovision, and you can see that he loves Eurovision from that film.
It's a very average film, but you can tell that the people who made it,
they genuinely, the fact that there is the inclusion of a hamster wheel, which is a really obscure reference to Ukraine's 2014 entry, is wonderful. I think it was 2014.
And that whole mashup section in the
oh my god! I should have done. I should have done Eurovision. A live reaction to the song along, because it was just 5 minutes of me screaming at the television. I had the best time. Yeah. I loved that movie. Yeah. Hate every scene that Will Ferrell is in. But anyway,
just the movie,
which is most of the movie. He just does all
the
of
duality
the
of man.
So many dick jokes, and I'm just like, that's unnecessary. And it's triggering for me because it's what all of the boys at school found funny. And I was like, Anchorman isn't funny. Anyway.
You don't like dick
shall
jokes.
Shall we wrap up?
Let's wrap up.
I only like dick jokes when I do them, Jimmy.
Okay.
What Am Politics, gentlemen? Where can they find you on the internet?
They can find us at What Am Politics, gentlemen. Just search for us and you'll find our calendar.
It's only 2 months.
We're not doing any more than that. WhatOnPolitics.com mm-hmm. and at WhatOnPolitics on Twitter and Instagram and that kind of thing.
Subscribe to the podcast. Mm. Listen to it.
Yeah. Mm. It's pretty okay. I feel
lovely. Whenever Brexit explodes again, we'll get these two guys on.
So see you at the end of this year when we actually leave.
We'll see. Right.
Jimmy, where can they find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at JDE Nichols, where I'll be insulting Jazza or having an argument with him about something.
Oh my
I
god, if you follow us both on Twitter, then you'll know that we've had like 3 fallings out in the past week. It's been fucking exhausting. You can find me at Jazza John on all social media because I am what a good internet boy. And also follow the podcast at Right Dishonor. Thank you very much, everybody, for being here. Wasn't this nice, lovely little reunion?
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Virtual hug.
Stop it.
We didn't drink as much as last time.
No, yeah.
So it's a little bit early.
Better get to that.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right, thanks, guys.
End of podcast. Bye. Stop talking, everyone.